Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all in the Master's name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a blessing for me to be here before all of you once again and to share God's word in the midst of all the believers. I hope that by now you're not exhausted of Romans yet, because we are looking through the book of Romans. We are going to continue to look through the book of Romans. I believe that this is helping us to go deeper into God's word. Amen. Amen. That we are going deeper into God's word and we're learning the scriptures. And hopefully this is not just some class or lesson, but it is bringing about change and transformation in our lives. We were looking at how God has been doing things so far. And we want to continue looking into the book of Romans. So I'll just read a few verses, two verses from Romans, and then we can pray. Romans chapter 4, verses 3, and Romans chapter 4, verses 9. Roma Legnam Nala Madhyayam and the Namuna Vakyam Umbadam Vakyam Vakyam. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Verse 9. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. Let us just bow our heads, close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father in heaven, God, we thank you, Father, for this beautiful morning that you've given to us to come into your presence. Father, we pray that your spirit will come and empower us. It'll speak to us, God. I pray that, God, just as we read the words today, that it will continue to impound and impact our lives for the better. Let it transform us. Let us be active people for you. I pray that our church will become a more vibrant community. Father, that we will drive each other to a place where we are more intimate with you. I pray for each and every single person who is gathered here today. I pray for our church services. I pray for our children. I pray for our youths. I pray, Father, for our parents, the adults, and I pray for the grandparents, people who are far away from us, Lord. I pray, Father, for the people who are ministering within our church. I just pray, Father, that your spirit will minister to us today. It's not about our skill or talent or our knowledge. It's about you. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when we look at the scripture, I just want to give a recap of what we have been looking so far. You know, if you feel like this is, sometimes even for me, I have to go back and think, what did I share 3 or 4 weeks ago? And I'm the one who's speaking. Okay, so if you forget, don't feel afraid or embarrassed or anything. All these videos are available online on the sermons. Go back and check. Take notes. It's good to hear these words again and again. So I'll just do a small recap just so that we can get to the point where we are today. Romans chapter 1, we looked at God's wrath being revealed against all humanity, that the knowledge of God is being suppressed. And what is this wrath of God? Yesterday, if you were there for our combined meeting, you would have heard me say that the wrath of God is allowing you to do what you want. God's love is rebuke and punishment. God's wrath is you go do what you want, okay? Which is opposite to what we think. We think that, you know, as children, we often think that if God is punishing us, he's angry with us. No, he's punishing us because he loves us. So I shared that yesterday. And then again, that's what the wrath of God is. God's wrath is allowing you to do what you want, as you please. And when we come to know God, we gain eternal life. That is what I spoke on Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 2, we looked at what is the meaning of being a true Jew, a circumcised Jew. What does it put them apart? And we saw that just being a Jew externally is not what makes a person a Jew. It's a spiritual Jew is a person who has circumcised his heart. It's when the Spirit of God is upon you, inside your heart, you are sealed by God, you have circumcised your heart, you are now a true Jew. In Romans chapter 3, we continue to look at justification by faith through righteousness of Christ. It's Christ's righteousness that is imputed upon us. Our sins he took, and we took his righteousness. So we are wearing the righteousness of Christ, and we are saved by faith. And we looked at how Martin Luther brought that about. So today, and then a few weeks ago, we looked at how grace is misinterpreted. I said free grace theology. I said that grace is free. There is nothing wrong with that. Bible teaches us grace is free. But the thing is, when you abuse that grace and you think that there is no need to live according to obedience and think that the Lord is our Savior and you think that obeying God's commandments is legalistic, that's when it becomes wrong. And that's what free grace theology is about. So I'm saying that as children of God, when you are obedient to God, there are certain commandments we have to follow. When we say God is our Savior and Jesus is our Lord, we mean that He is our Master, He is our King, and we obey what He has to do, what He wants us to do. And now we're going back, and I just want to finish Romans chapter 4 so we can move on from 4. You've probably tired of reading chapter 4. But then we're going to go deeper into 4 because I still think there is a part that remains untouched. And this part is Abraham saying that, or Paul teaching us that what Abraham did, Abraham believed in God and was credited to him as righteousness. There are a few things to unpack in there. But then, you know, what we understand is we are not saved by works, but we are saved by faith. നമ്മൾ ക്രിയകൾ കൂടെയല്ല നമ്മൾ യു നോ വി ഗെറ്റ് ജസ്റ്റിഫൈഡ് വി ആർ സേവ്ഡ് ബൈ നമ്മൾ രക്ഷപ്പെടുന്നത് എങ്ങനെയാണ് ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ദാനമാണ് കൃപയാണ് ത്രൂ വിശ്വാസത്താലാണ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ത്രൂ ഗ്രേസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ത്രൂ ഫെയ്ത്ത് ഇറ്റ്സ് ദാറ്റ്സ് ഹൗ വി റിസീവ് ദ റൈച്ചസ്നെസ് ബട്ട് ദിസ് ദിസ് മിസ്ഇന്റർപ്രിട്ടേഷൻ ദിസ് മിസ്അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡിംഗ് ദിസ് കൺഫ്യൂഷൻ ദറ്റ് കംസ് അപ്പ് So then, is there no works at all? Or is there works? And this confusion comes up, and we have to address this issue. A lot of our youth and our children sometimes ask me this question. Sometimes Paul is saying this, but then isn't James saying the opposite? So what is true? So let's read that scripture together. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 18 onwards to verse 24. Okay. Yaakob eluthiya lekhanam, randam adhyayam, 18th vakyam, 24th vakyam vare. James chapter 2, verses 18 to 24. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But you are willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. How many of you are confused? Just a few weeks ago, we said what? We are saved by faith alone. And when we come into James, we are reading that man is not saved by faith alone. On the surface, it looks like a contradiction. On the surface, it looks like they don't go together. Paul is saying one thing, James is saying one thing. They both cannot be true, so then the Bible cannot be true. And a lot of people reach that conclusion. But the Bible is the word of God. Nothing in this Bible is a contradiction. In fact, there is a lot of contradiction in the Bible, but none of it is a contradiction. What I just said is a contradiction, but it's not a contradiction at the same time. Even last week, when we looked at the word of the Psalms, we looked at how the heaven is silent, the sky is silent, but it pours forth speech. I was like, that's a contradiction. How can you be silent and pour forth speech? Again, the Bible uses contradictive language to show that we cannot make sense of God. Because the minute you try to make sense of God, you have failed. Because God is beyond our sense. He is beyond our comprehension. He is beyond our understanding. Trying to understand God is Impossible. It is impossible. I might have a master's in divinity. You know, it's called MDiv. If I have to get my next degree, the highest one possible, I have to get a doctorate in ministry. That's when I get a demon inside of me. No, I'm kidding. I don't think there is anything wrong with getting doctorate of ministry. There are many pastors who get doctorate of ministry and they're good servants of the Lord. But the short form of that degree is called demon. Okay, and it is funny to me that when you're studying for ministry, the highest degree you can get is a demon. Okay, but what I'm trying to say is that this doctorate of ministry is, and even this master's of divinity, this whole point is trying to comprehend God. We're trying to learn more about God. And I'm telling you, the more I'm studying, the less I feel like I'm reaching anywhere. Because God is beyond our comprehension. This Bible is the only book. It is enough for us. It is more than sufficient for us to know Him. When we study God's Word and we dig deep into the Scriptures, we will understand His heart for us, His people. And the more we dig deeper into Scripture, the more we love Scripture, the more we read Scripture, and we ask the Holy Spirit to make sense to us, the more we see how much God loves us. In the end, our walk away from this is not that God is confusing. We should walk away saying God is love. So when we read this passage, it is confusing at first. Paul seems to say what? Man is saved by faith alone. He uses this verse. What is this verse? Abraham believed in God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. James takes that same verse and see, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So works is important and we are not saved by faith alone. Both these men of God are using the same verse to establish the same thing. So now I thought maybe I should go back to this verse and find out what these both are trying to say. So let's go back to where Genesis, the story is from. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Mopati Bukstam, Padanenja Madhyayam, Adinde Aram Vakyam. Aram Vakyam, Pomomo. Okay, yeah. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Mopati Bukstam, Padanenja Madhyayam, Adinde Aram Vakyam. The first book of the Bible. Okay. Then he believed in the Lord and he reckoned to him as righteousness. ഈ വാക്യം എടുത്താണ് ഈ രണ്ട് വിശുദ്ധന്മാർ പുതിയ നിയമ വിശുദ്ധന്മാർ ഈ കാര്യം പറ്റി പഠിപ്പിക്കുന്നത്. They are both talking about faith. They are both talking about salvation. They are both talking about works. So let's dig deep here. Let us go into Genesis chapter 15 verse 6 and say, what is the story? ഇതിന്റെ തുടക്കം എവിടാണ്? What is the starting of the story? You have to go back to Genesis chapter 12. So let's go to Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to make you guys read a lot of scripture today. If you don't like reading a lot of scripture, I apologize, but we are in a church meeting. It's about reading scripture. Okay? More than hearing what I have to preach, let's go into the scriptures and read what the scriptures have to say. All I'm hoping to show is explaining what the scriptures say so that you guys are like, what he's saying is correct. He showed me a verse for it. I want you guys to walk away saying that this is biblical. I don't want to fluff what is there. This is what the teaching of the Bible is. Genesis chapter 12 is when we start hearing the story of this man called Abram. Abram is coming. Right now, the whole world is confused. The Tower of Babel is built. Everyone is split up by family, by family, by family. They have all been separated. God looks for one person to choose as his elect. And that's when we get the story of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 onwards. Mopati Bustam, Pandrana Madhyayam, and then the Onna Vakim Mudal Nyamvaikam. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So from the first time that God is speaking to Abraham, he receives this calling upon his life, this calling that the whole earth is going to be blessed through Abram. Even before Abram understood or even comprehended the gravity of this calling, God put this in the beginning of the foundation of the earth. ഒരു നിമിഷം നമുക്ക് ചിന്തിക്കാം. ഏബ്രഹാം ഇത് കേട്ടപ്പോൾ അവൻ ഇതിന്റെ ഗൗരവത, ഈ വിളിയുടെ ഗൗരവത മനസ്സിലായില്ല. എന്നാൽ ദൈവം ഈ ലോകത്തെ സൃഷ്ടിച്ച മുമ്പേ ദൈവത്തിന് ഒരു ഉദ്ദേശം ഉണ്ടായിരുന്നു. ആ ഉദ്ദേശം ഇവിടെ നമ്മൾ കാണുന്നുണ്ട്. വി സ്റ്റാർട്ട് സീയിങ് ദിസ് പ്ലാൻ ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ബീങ് ഫുൾഫിൽഡ് ത്രൂ ഏബ്രഹാം. ഗോഡ് ഓൾറെഡി പ്രോമിസ്ഡ് ദിസ് through Adam and Eve. When the earth was cursed, God said to Eve that through you a seed will come and will crush the serpent. And we are getting this hint of this greater revelation that God is putting a plan. And this then finally God chooses Abram. I'm going to choose you from all the other nations. ഈ ലോകത്തിലുള്ള വേറെ എല്ലാ കുടുംബങ്ങൾ ഞാൻ വിട്ടു, ഞാൻ കൈ കൊടുത്തു. ഐ എം നോട്ട് ചൂസിങ് എനി ഓഫ് ദം. ഐ ഹാവ് ചോസൺ യു. നിങ്ങൾ ഒരു തിരഞ്ഞെടുക്കപ്പെട്ട ഒരു ജാതിയാണ്. യു ആർ എ ചോസൺ ജനറേഷൻ. ഐ എം ഗോയിങ് ടു കോൾ യു ആൻഡ് പുട്ട് എ പേർപ്പസ് ഫോർ യു. ദിസ് ഇസ് വാട്ട് ഹി ഡിഡ് ടു അസ്. നമ്മളൊരു തിരഞ്ഞെടുക്കപ്പെട്ട ഒരു ജാതിയാണ്. വി ആർ എ ചോസൺ ജനറേഷൻ. We are chosen by God. We are called according to His purpose. When we read Romans chapter 8, you know, this one favorite verse that everyone loves to read. It's like, and God makes all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Who is called according to His purpose? We are. But then I will address. So you think that when right now you feel like maybe he is, you know, sitting through Romans 4 so much time. When I reach Romans chapter 8, for a few months, I will be parked in Romans chapter 8. So there is too much stuff to like uncover in Romans chapter 8. So bear with me, put the seatbelt that I was talking about last week and bear with me. Okay. So this whole passage that we're talking about, we're looking at the story of Abraham. He is called by God and said that go. Step forth. I'm going to call you into a nation. I'm going to bring you forth. And he says, I'm going to bless the whole world through you. Abraham receives this promise. He accepts it. He acts in faith and he steps forward. That's why in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that Abraham, by faith, was called and walked to a nation that he did not see or did not know. When we drive or we go to a destination, we often put a GPS, we put location, and we are like, okay, let's go here, let's go there. If we don't put this location on the map, sometimes we can get lost. Abraham did not have any GPS. He just said, God told him, go. He didn't ask where, how, when, next week. I have to take money from the bank. I have to do this. I have to plan these things. All my things are not, affairs are not in order. He said, where do you want to go? I'll go. God asked for implicit obedience. Faith is implicit obedience. What is faith? Vishwasam yendana. Vishwasam varnya, your ashrayam is on someone who's bigger than you. Your trust is bigger than who, than something that is bigger than you. എല്ലാ രാവിലെ നമ്മൾ ഇറങ്ങിക്കുമ്പോൾ, നമ്മൾ കട്ടിന്മേൽ ഇറങ്ങിക്കുമ്പോൾ, നമ്മൾ കട്ടിൽ നിന്ന് ചാടി നമ്മൾ കാലിന്മേൽ നിൽക്കുമ്പോൾ നമ്മൾ പരിശോധിക്കാറുണ്ടോ, എൻ്റെ കാലിന്ന് സ്ട്രെങ്ത് ഉണ്ടോ എന്ന്? When we get out from the bed and we stand beside our bed, do we test our leg? Okay, my leg is strong today, it can carry my weight. You're not worried if the KFC or the Popeyes you ate last night will add more weight to your body where your legs cannot carry your weight. You check and you check your leg and you're like, okay, it's strong, it's fine. No, we just stand up. Why? Because you trust your leg. But what happens with God? We're like, Deva ended the parnu. Okay, God, if this is from you, run the prophets have to come to speak to me. my job place has to give me a bonus. I have to get an A plus in my paper. Then I will see it as a sign from you. Do you see how we say we trust God, but we don't really trust him? Trusting God means implicit obedience. You're not testing your leg. You trust your legs. You see what I mean? If you trust God, you're not testing God. You don't have to be like Gideon and put out the fleece. You know very well that if God says something, he will bring it into fruition. If God brings about something, if God has spoken it, if God is calling you, he's faithful. And Abraham had that faith. That is why he's listed in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of the fathers of the faith, the greats of the faith. And then we go on. Let's continue reading about the story. So the next part that we look at is Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. We looked at a couple of verses. We looked at verse 6, but I want to read verses 1 to 5, 1 to 6, so that you understand what is it that Abraham believed that was credited to him as righteousness. Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abraham said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Now verse 6, "Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness." What did God tell Abram, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness? God told him that you're going to have a child. And Abram said, "I believe it." It didn't matter to him that it seemed impossible according to medical science. It didn't seem crazy to him that this is how God's going to work. It's just, let it be. This is what God's plans are. That's how it's going to be. But then as we progress through the chapters, as we keep going on, we see that Abraham loses this faith. The father of the faith loses his faith. When God appears to him in Genesis chapter 15, he has this faith that God will save him. But then in Genesis chapter 17, God appears to Abraham again when he is 99 years old. And this promise is not being fulfilled. Devam mumbe kalpicha ee vaktattam ee 99 years old ayapol then it's not being fulfilled. Pandu nammal kittiya chela vaktattangal ippolum niravetada ingane irupponde. There's some promises that we have received in our life that we have also forgotten. It is not being fulfilled in our life. And we think maybe God also forgot. God is not one who forgets even when we forget. Okay? Abraham already acted upon it. He has Ishmael. He has a child. And God comes to him again. Okay? Let's read. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. "Now when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly.'" Okay, so when God tells Abram that I'm going to make this covenant with you, he's saying that this covenant has not yet been made. So the promise that God gave him when he called him out of this land of Ur is not yet being fulfilled. And God is saying, "I'm only going to give it to you, but it's yet to come." He's already 99 years old. And then as we go on, verse 9, it says, "God said further to Abraham, 'Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout the generation.' And we read this before about circumcision, so we already read that portion. But later on, when we read this passage, Abraham is saying, God, I just want Ishmael to be before you. When God said that, I will give you Isaac, I will give you a son through Sarah, Abraham chirichu. Abraham laughed. At my old age, sometimes our faith will reach a point where we will question even God's own words. Because we are like, how now? How about now? The same situation happened to Martha, Mary, when their brother Lazarus died. They sent out word to Jesus when Lazarus was still sick. Jesus waited purposely until Lazarus died. Then he said, okay, he's asleep, let's go. You see, sometimes Jesus tarries his coming to fulfill a greater purpose. And the same thing is happening right now. Jesus is tarrying his coming to fulfill a greater purpose in this world. And in the same way, Abraham is waiting on God to fulfill this promise, and God is saying, wait, it's not yet my time. And then in chapter 18, God says, next year I will return to you and you will have a son. Then God appears to Sarah, and Sarah is now laughing. Sarah is like, at this age, this is going to happen to me? And then God appears to Sarah and says, why did you laugh? Sarah's like, me? I didn't laugh. She lied. And the Bible says she lied. And yet God chooses to laugh. So the reason why I'm saying the story is because all of the story is because God wanted Isaac to be born. And even when Isaac was born, the covenant is not fulfilled. You know when the covenant is fulfilled? Only when Abraham chooses to sacrifice his son Isaac. Let us read Genesis chapter 22, verse 15 to 19 onwards. Murpati Puksta, Irvati Randa Madhyayam, and then the Padanya Vakyam, Mother Patomada Vakyam. Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 to 19. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Vishwasathil ennum munnerum njan. Vishwasathal ellam cheedidum njan. We say this, no, by faith we will do everything. And there's another song. Abraham, Devate, Vishwasichapol, Devamada, Nidikai, Kana Kittello. Like, Abraham believed in God, and God counted it or credited it to him as righteousness. What did he do? He was willing to sacrifice everything on the faith and the promise that God gave him, that God will give him descendants. You see, faith is not just belief. വിശ്വാസം എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാൽ നമ്മുടെ വാക്കിലകത്ത് നമ്മൾ വിശ്വാസം എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാൽ ഞാൻ ദൈവത്തിലെ വിശ്വസിക്കുന്നു. അതുകൊണ്ടാണ് യാക്കോബ് പറയുന്നത് നീ വിശ്വസിക്കുന്നു, ഈ ഈ ഡീമൺസും വിശ്വസിക്കുന്നു. യു സീ വാട്ട് ഐ മീൻ? ഇറ്റ്സ് ലൈക്ക് വി സേ വി ബിലീവ് ഇൻ ഗോഡ്, ദ ഡീമൺസ് ഓൾസോ ബിലീവ് ഇൻ ഗോഡ്. ദേ ഷേക്ക് ആൻഡ് ഷഡർ. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദ മാറ്റർ ഓഫ് ഫെയ്ത്ത് ഇഫ് യു ഡോണ്ട് ഹാവ് ഒബീഡിയൻസ്? വിശ്വാസവും അനുസരണവും ബോത്ത് ഗോ ഹാൻഡ് ഇൻ ഹാൻഡ്. The demons believe in God, but they don't obey. What is the difference between a true Christian? Oru yaddartha yahudan aaranu. Vishwasam mathramalla, anusaranamum. You need to have faith and obedience. Faith and obedience go hand in hand together. That is why Abraham is counted as the father of faith. Not because he just stepped out in faith into a land that he did not know, but because he was willing to sacrifice his son. Turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19. I know my time is short, so I'll try and end it up. Hebrew chapter 11, Ebrai Erdia Legnam, Padanoma Madiayam, and then the Padanera Wakimodal. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Today, if God is asking you to give up everything, will you do it for God? ദൈവം ഇന്ന് നിങ്ങൾ വന്ന് ചോദിക്കുവാണെങ്കിൽ, നിങ്ങൾ നിങ്ങളുടെ ജോലി വിട്, നിങ്ങളുടെ കുടുംബം വിട്, എല്ലാം വിട്ട് എന്നെ സേവിക്കാൻ പറഞ്ഞ് നമ്മൾ അനുസരിക്കുമോ? വിശ്വാസം ഉണ്ടെങ്കിൽ നമ്മൾ ചെയ്യണം. അതർവൈസ് വി ഡോണ്ട് ഹാവ് ട്രൂ ഫെയ്ത്ത്. അല്ലെങ്കിൽ നമ്മുടെ വിശ്വാസം യഥാർത്ഥ വിശ്വാസം അല്ല. യഥാർത്ഥ വിശ്വാസം പൂർണ്ണമായി ദൈവത്തിനോട് സമർപ്പിക്കും. ആൻഡ് വി ഹാവ് ഫുൾ ട്രസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ വാട്ട് ഗോഡ് ഇസ് ഡൂ. അവർ റിലയൻസ് ഓൺ ഗോഡ് ഷുഡ് ബി ഹൗ വി റിലൈ ഓൺ അവർ ലെഗ്സ്. നമ്മളുടെ കാലിൽ നമ്മൾ ആശ്രയം വെക്കുന്നത് പോലെ, അതിനേക്കായി കൂടുതലാണ് നമ്മൾ ദൈവത്തിന്മേൽ നമ്മളുടെ ആശ്രയം വെക്കുന്നത്. മോർ ദൻ വി റിലൈ ഓൺ അവർ ബോഡി, വി ഹാവ് ടു റിലൈ ഓൺ ഗോഡ്. ഈ വചനം ഇച്ചിരി കട്ടിയാണ്, ബട്ട് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് വാട്ട് വാസ് കൗണ്ടഡ് ടു ഹിം ഇസ് റൈറ്റിയസ്നെസ്. പൗലോസ്, ദാറ്റ്സ് വൈ ഹി സേസ് വി ആർ സേവ്ഡ് ബൈ ഫെയ്ത്ത്. പക്ഷെ പൗലോസ് പറഞ്ഞ വിശ്വാസം വെറും വിശ്വാസമല്ലായിരുന്നു, അത് അനുസരണമുള്ള വിശ്വാസമായിരുന്നു, അത് ക്രിയ ചെയ്യുന്ന വിശ്വാസമാണ്. ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് ഫെയ്ത്ത് വിത്ത് വർക്ക്സ്. ബിക്കോസ് പീപ്പിൾ വർ മിസ്അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡിങ് വാട്ട് പോൾ വാസ് റിയലി ടീച്ചിങ്, James had to come and say, you cannot have faith and not have works. Once again, let me clarify. Nammalde kriya alla nammale rakshikkunnathu. It is not our works that saves us. It's our faith in Jesus. But our faith in Jesus will create works. It will bring about a transformation. Innale njan oru avishwasi aayirunnengil, ഇന്ന് ഞാനൊരു വിശ്വാസിയാണെങ്കിൽ എന്റെ ക്രിയ മാറും. എന്റെ മൈ ആക്ഷൻസ് വിൽ ബി ഡിഫറെന്റ്, മൈ തോട്ട്സ് വിൽ ബി ഡിഫറെന്റ്, ദ വേ ഐ ബിഹേവ് വിൽ ബി ഡിഫറെന്റ്. ഇഫ് ദേർ ഇസ് നോ ഡിഫറൻസ്, ദെൻ വാട്ട് ഇസ് ദ ഡിഫറൻസ് ഇൻ സേയിങ് യു ആർ എ ബിലീവർ? ചിൽഡ്രൻ ഓഫ് ഗോഡ്, വി ഹാവ് ടു ഒബേ ഗോഡ്. ഇറ്റ് ഡസന്റ് മാറ്റർ ഇഫ് യു സേ യു ആർ എ ക്രിസ്ത്യൻ, വി ഹാവ് ടു ഒബേ ഗോഡ് ഇൻ വാട്ട് ഹി ഹാസ് ടോൾഡ് അസ് ടു ഡു. ഇതെല്ലാവർക്കും ഇഷ്ടപ്പെടുന്ന ഒരു മെസ്സേജ് അല്ല. ഞാനൊരു ഐ എം എ ചൈൽഡ്, ഐ എം എ യങ് ഗായ്, ബട്ട് ദിസ് ഇസ് വാട്ട് ദ ബൈബിൾ ടീച്ചേഴ്സ് അസ്. ആൻഡ് ഐ എം സേയിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഓൾസോ ഐ നീഡ് ടു ഹിയർ ദിസ്. നമ്മൾ ദൈവത്തെ സ്നേഹിക്കുന്നെങ്കിൽ, നമ്മൾ ദൈവത്തെ ആശ്രയം വെക്കുവാണെങ്കിൽ, നമ്മൾ ദൈവത്തിൽ വിശ്വാസമുണ്ടെങ്കിൽ, നമ്മൾ പൂർണ്ണമായി ദൈവത്തിനോട് സമർപ്പിക്കണം ആൻഡ് അനുസരിക്കണം, ചെയ്യണം. വി ഹാവ് ടു ഒബേ ഹിം, വി ഹാവ് ടു സറണ്ടർ അവർ ലൈഫ്സ് ഫുള്ളി ടു ഹിം. ദാറ്റ്സ് വൈ ലാസ്റ്റ് വീക്ക് ഐ സെഡ് this free grace theology says, orpella, you want blessing, come, we will give you blessing. Nattil enda nadakkunnathu, ulla ella meetings lathil conventions varuna healing um prophecy nadakkunnunde. Aalkar vanna, they will say, oh, I accept Jesus Christ, and they go back to their old ways. They come to church and say, I accept Jesus Christ, thank you for the healing, and then they never step into church again. Adana vishwasam. Vishwasam means oru maattam varanam. It has to bring about change in our works. That is why God says in the book of Revelation, let us not forget our works, how we were saved, our first love. Devathe snehikkumbo, really if we love God, our behavior, our actions, our thoughts will change accordingly. I'm going to end my words here. But God is asking us to move into a place of intimacy with him. ഇതെല്ലാം എന്തിനാണ്? ദൈവം എന്തിനാണ് നമ്മളെ രക്ഷിച്ചത്? Why did God save us? to move us into a place of intimacy with him so that we can know him. Not for us to escape hell, but for us to enjoy relationship with him. And if we are in a relationship with someone that we love, we will change ourselves. You have already experienced this. If you're married, you know this. If you're in a relationship with someone you love, you will change yourself for that other person. In the same way, God is asking us to change ourselves for him. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father God, we thank you. Lord, you're asking us to be obedient to you fully, to surrender our life to you. If Abraham could do it, lay down his own son on the altar, having full faith that you could raise Isaac back to life. Yet you spared Isaac. But when it came to your own son, you didn't spare him. When it came to your own son, you didn't protect him. You let him be brutally murdered, humiliated in the public, so that we could come to know you. And yet we take this grace so lightly. Yet we take this grace as license to continue in sin. Father, forgive us. Give us a heart that will break for what breaks yours, and rather a heart that will run to love what you love. Father, Lord, you love us so much. Help us to love you more. I pray, Father, that this message will heal people. Father, yesterday you said that you rebuke and you discipline children that you love. We receive this rebuke, God. You love us. That is why you're telling us to be more obedient towards you. We receive this rebuke. In the same way, God, I pray that you will make us more obedient and better children to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you all with these words. Continue to keep us in your prayers.